You are now tuned in to Melanie Hurt. Melanie Hurt. You are now tuned in to Melanie Hurt podcast. Melanie Hurt. You are now tuned in to Melanie Hurt podcast. Tuned in to Melanie Hurt. Tuned in to Melanie Hurt podcast.
Welcome to a special edition of the Melanie Hurt Podcast, our Melanie holiday podcast. Edition. We're joined by the Real Mama Podcast. Devin and Kendra's here. If you haven't checked out our episode, we were featured on the Real Mama's Podcast. Hey, Kendra. Hey, Devin. How are you?
Hey,
Mama.
Hey, y'all.
I love your intro so much. I'm like, hey, Mama. Oh my gosh. So
this episode is all about holidays, and I thought it would be perfect to start with an icebreaker. The Real Mama Podcast, they're known for their segment, The Mama Juice. And what they do is they ask their guests to bring a specific drink. So we decided to remix it and create a Kwanzaa edition. So each of us got a principle of Kwanzaa, and we had to bring an inspired drink that represented our principle. So, Kendra, do you want to start first?
Sure.
Let the audience know your principle and what drink did you bring?
Of course. Well, one, thank you for having me and Devin. But my principle was Nia, and Nia stands for purpose. So I think this is hilarious, but I brought some Hennessy Pure White.
Okay.
The purpose, I should say, behind the Tennessee Pure White is because this is literally the spirit that brought me and my husband together. And I would not be a mama without, or at least to my son, Eli, without my husband, Jonathan. And he's actually going to shout praise when I say this, but I slid in his DMs about Tennessee Pure White. he posted, this was back when we were in college, Florida A&M University. Hello, fam, you're Rattlers.
Shouts to the HBCUs.
But he posted on Instagram that he got a bottle of Hennessy Pure White. And back in the day, like, Hennessy Pure White was a hot commodity. Like, it wasn't easily accessible. You had to know somebody who was traveling out of the country to get it. And when he posted this bottle, I was like, I want to try that because I had never tried it. So I DM'd him and was like, hey, friend, let me, slide over to try that Hennessy. And that was literally what sparked our interest, I guess, in the way that we are connected now to each other. So I brought my Hennessy Pure White as my Nia, my purpose. My purpose is my husband, my family, and the love and union that we have. So cheers
to purpose.
Nia and purpose.
Cheers.
Cheers. Ari, what did you bring?
So my principle is Kumba, which is all about creativity. And, even though I eat, breathe, sleep, wake in creativity, cause that's a real Sagittarius for you. I prepared, this concoction. I challenged myself. It's, pomegranate juice, some black tea that I had, what is it called? When you let it soak, I forget what it's
marinated
called.
Steam?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had it, all marinated and nice. And then some honey and some Tito's. And then I said, why not get creative?
I like that.
Oh, this one is Chardonnay from 19 Crimes, because I was just like, why not? Let's get creative.
Oh, girl. I hope you sit all up after that.
Right.
So, y'all.
Cheers to Kuma.
Cheers to Kuma, yes.
Okay, Devin, what was your principle?
Okay, my principle was Kuji Chakalia, And that means self-determination. And so I try to tie my drink into this by having some scotch, Bellavini to be exact. And so the way I try to turn this, it's a little strong. You got to put a little hair on your chest for this one. But for self-determination, my husband and I, we have two businesses together. And so we had to be really determined to make this happen. So we are Airbnb owners. We have real estate out in Orlando, Florida, near Disney. So if you ever need an Airbnb, hit me up, you know? And then we are also, my husband is the woodworker. So he can create anything. You imagine it, he can create it. And I do all like the management and logistics of everything. Social media, all that stuff. So that took some self-determination because, you know, we took a big risk trying to do both businesses. When we closed on our Airbnb, the world shut down the next day. And we had no idea what we was going to get into, if we were going to be successful or not. And we're still standing 3 years later. So that's some self-determination for you.
Cheers to that.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to switch to this one.
And to end it all off, I had Ujamaa, which means cooperative economics. The real definition is to build and maintain our own store, shops, and other businesses to profit each other. So to support Black businesses. So, you know,
cheers to that.
Support
cheers.
My sis, Issa Rae. And I'm drinking the Mia Ray.
We love Prosecco. Issa.
I didn't know she had a wine. She has a wine.
She has a Prosecco.
It's a Prosecco. So I supported a Black business, a Black creative, Issa
Rae.
We
need to hit up Issa to sponsor Mama Juice.
Exactly.
I know, we do. We do. So we need to hit Issa up.
Some shipping.
Oh, FOMO, friend.
Why?
Well, I thought we were going to do it together.
I got you. Okay. It's coming soon. Okay. You got to be patient.
No, you're right. So befitting to your principal girls, because we're also collaborating for this holiday special. It is a time to give and a time to, you know, appreciate all that we receive. You know, we're all blessed to, you know, have this opportunity to, you know, get together and great energy. So I'm just looking forward to this episode. Looking forward to it.
Same here. Thank you guys so much for participating.
Of course. We love our Millennie Her podcast sisters.
And we love the Real Mama podcast. So let's take a sip to that.
Yes.
Cheers.
We're trying to get y'all turned up.
Kumba, to Nia, to Kuji Chakalia, and to Ujamaa.
All right.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
So I wanted to have fun with this, and I wanted to discuss all holidays from Thanksgiving all the way to New Year's. And I thought, when it comes to the holidays, usually most people go home for the holidays. They spend holidays with family and friends. So I have a game that's this or that. So I'm going to ask you guys certain questions, and you tell me which one you would choose. So I'm going to start off with Devin.
Oh, Lord.
So would you rather attend Thanksgiving dinner with your family, or would you rather go to a Friendsgiving with your friends?
It's funny you ask that, because Kendra and I, friend group, we actually have an annual Friendsgiving we've been doing for the last like 4 years, four or five years. I can't remember. Five. And so it was a big riffraff between like our families. Like, how y'all not going to do Thanksgiving with your family? Like, we family. And it was just a tradition we started. And we've been going strong. I actually had to miss this year because we did have to choose family for this year in particular. I have fun at both.
But if you have it in a perfect world.
Can we split the holidays?
It's only one answer. It's either friends or family.
Well, if I'm going based on what we've done for the last 5 years, I guess I would say Friendsgiving. It sounds really bad, but
no, it doesn't sound bad at all.
It's just a tradition we've started with our kids. So most of our friends in that group went to Florida A&M University, FAMU. Where my rat was at. And so our babies are like,
do that every time.
That's right. We gonna rattler. Yeah, the rattlers are gonna rattler.
But our babies are growing up together and like play cousins and all this other, and god siblings, and it's just a lot of, you know, some cool things we do with our kids and with our friends. So we kind of reserve Christmas for our family and then Thanksgiving for our friends.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. That's dope. So Ari, I'm coming to you. Would you rather prepare Christmas dinner or do the dishes after?
Okay. Wait, okay, Christmas. Okay, I was about to say. All right. I'm all for takeout on Christmas. I'm cool. We don't got to do that, you know, the cooking. It's optional if I feel like it. So with that being said, I don't mind preparing. Yep. I'm going to go with that.
You don't go with that.
Preparing is, hey, can I get an order? That's preparing. That's easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Okay, so Kendra, fall scents or winter scents? Which one are you choosing?
Fall all day, baby.
Love me some
fall, baby. Yeah.
Ooh. So I am a woodsy spice kind of girl.
You know, I was going to say you give that off.
Glad I give that, because I'm a cozy, woodsy type of girl. So if a scent is giving, I even like quietly pumpkin. I do like the pumpkin smells. I like the pumpkin, not like pies and such, but I can give, like, I love the pumpkin spice scents and coffees and such. So I will go with the woodsy pumpkin fall. I'm a fall type of girl. Fall all day. That's my season.
And girls,
yeah. I want to ask you, put you in the hot seat.
Okay.
If you would do desserts, right? I got it. Chill out, sis. Chill out. Would you do sweet potato pie or banana pudding?
I'm going with banana pudding all the way. And it has to be chessmen cookies, because I don't like
them. Okay. Oh, let me tell
I'm
you.
I'm also not really a fan of bananas.
Devin makes
in
a
it.
Good banana pudding.
You think you're not a fan of what?
Of bananas in it, because like I don't plan like when you put the actual bananas in the banana pudding, because eventually they turn brown.
It looks so unappealing.
Yeah.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait.
You could bag it up.
So if you soak your bananas in lime juice, like fresh lime juice, it prevents it from turning brown and you can't taste it. It gives you a nice little kick. And so I challenge you all, since you love chessmen cookies with your banana pudding, Paula Deen, she got this recipe called Nacho Mama.
I thought we canceled her.
I'm sorry. Look, let me tell you about this recipe.
The recipe ain't canceled
because you ain't going to go back. It's called Nacho Mama Banana Pudding. And it has the chessmen cookies in it. And if you do that trick with the bananas and the lime juice, girl, you good.
Okay,
how long is it supposed to sit in the lime juice?
Just a little bit. My husband, Mama, she from the islands, and she taught me that little trick, and it worked. Nicaragua, Corn Island, mm-hmm, Central America.
Shout out to the Caribbeans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
So it
sounds like we're all pretty festive around here.
No facts.
We know our seasons. We love our holidays. Okay.
Cheers to that.
Yes.
I'm drinking water and Hennessy.
I'm coming around.
Balance. It's called balance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's transition to Kwanzaa. So since we did our icebreaker, I just wanted to drop some gems about Kwanzaa. If you're not familiar with it, it's an African-American holiday that's celebrated from December 26th to January 1st. It was created by activist Dr. Karenga, based on African harvest festival traditions from parts of West Africa and Southeast Africa. The reason why he created this holiday was to give Black people an alternative to Christmas and give Black people an opportunity to celebrate themselves and their history rather than simply imitate the practice of societies. The seven principles of Kwanzaa are Umoja, Kujichagulia, Ujima, Ujamaa, Nia, Pumbaa, and Imani. Kwanzaa is celebrated with different symbols, including a kanara, which is the candle holder, and it's 7 candlesticks. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. A mazo, which is the crops, a mahindi, which is the corn that represents children celebrating, and a kimobi, which is the unity cup. And when you celebrate Kwanzaa, you're supposed to drink from the unity cup to just give thanks to the ancestors by saying umoja, which means unity. So I don't know if y'all know about too much about Kwanzaa, but recently a lot has been coming out in the media about Kwanzaa because there's been a big scandal. So the creator of Kwanzaa, even though he denies these allegations, in 1970, he and 3 other members of the U.S. organization of a Black nationalist group based in Los Angeles was imprisoned for assaulting 2 female members. This trial revealed that the woman had been whipped with cords, beaten and seared with irons while naked. So Karenga, he served a few years in prison and later went on to get his doctorate and teach. He served 4 years in prison. So the big discussion has been, should Kwanzaa be celebrated amongst Black families or should we cancel it? Anyone could chime in on that.
And so I heard about this, I think 2 years ago, because my husband and I have been talking about actually celebrating Kwanzaa as a tradition to add on to our family traditions for the holidays. And I was actually on the fence about it. That was one of the reasons why I was a little apprehensive. And I said I wanted to do a little bit more research. And I just haven't gotten around to it. But I don't, this cancel culture, like, it's very hard, right? And I don't think I have enough information at this moment to say it should be canceled, especially since this happened in 1977. But I also don't want to excuse abusive behavior. Exactly. Because I have a very low tolerance for that, especially towards women. So I can't fully answer that question, if that makes sense.
I can answer that question.
Y'all.
So I think what a lot of what Devin shared is important, but
yeah,
I also want to say that we have to be mindful of the root of the reason why Kwanzaa was created. My husband is African American history was his minor in college. And he is very big on just the culture of Black folks in America. And we have to be mindful of our history and our ancestry and just how we got into the country that we live in. And a lot of our culture, a lot of our practices, a lot of our roots were stripped away from us. And we had to kind of create our own culture as African Americans. So if we think about and focus on the reason why Kwanzaa was created, to me, that is what speaks besides whatever this man did, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that what he did not need the attention that it got. And he should have been reprimanded in the way that he was. But when we think about others who were involved in the creation of this beautiful culture of Kwanzaa and what it means to Black folks in America, that's where I and my family are more mindful of putting our energy towards. Kwanzaa is something that we've talked about for many years when incorporating it into our family. And now that our son is 4 and he's more in tune with what goes on around him and the practices that we do in this house, Kwanzaa is something that we intend on practicing in our home this year and prayerfully many years forward. So we will practice Kwanzaa in this home, and we will focus on what it means and how it really speaks to our culture as a people. in our roots as a people. And that's where our energy will be focused. So whatever this man did, you know, I'm glad that he was, you know, reprimanded in the way that he should have been. But we will be focusing on what Kwanzaa means to us as a family and us as a culture.
Yeah.
Ari, agree with that. Ari, what's your thoughts?
I have a few thoughts. But if we're just going to talk about what it is, I didn't grow up really having a lot of information about Kwanzaa. Actually, you know, I grew to know more about it from the Proud Family. The show.
That's a great episode.
That episode,
too.
Yes, like I love that episode.
Rugrats
like,
was really good too. They had a Rugrats.
Oh,
episode.
Okay. I gotta check
and
that
Elmo,
one out.
Elmo had a good one too.
Hmm. Oh wow! Okay.
Rugrats had an episode that's about Kwanzaa. Yeah. I miss that because I love that. Rugrats.
And it was actually an older episode, like in the '90s when we were smaller.
Huh. So, like, those shows, Rugrats and Elmo and Proud Family, you know, that was the most representation of Kwanzaa that was, I was exposed to. So, in adult life, you know, I'm just like, as I'm growing into it, I'm like, I respect the mission of what was being, you know, that it was being, you know, publicized as. And then also, we talk about representation all the time. Being important, and that's one of the holidays, you know, that I feel like isn't as recognized. I mean, it's not a national holiday, it's a celebration technically. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, known as a holiday to the national standard, and for that reason I do think it deserves a little bit more attention. I think it's bigger than the person that, you know, conducted whatever behavior was conducted, especially when it was kind of based on, you know, the facts of what you mentioned, Cheryls, and you know, it could obviously be delved a little deeper in research, but it seemed like it was a irrelevant, like a unrelated event that this person, you know, that the founder was involved in, and so it shouldn't slight, you know, the whole, you know, like again the mission of it and what it was built on. And then when you really think about it, you know, all holidays were built on some tumultuous action. Like, you know, I want you to name one holiday that wasn't built on the backs of people, mm-hmm. or the demise of a, you know, of a race or a nationality or, you know, casualties or, you know, someone being slighted. It's all, you know, and we celebrate the fact that we overcame. I think that's the commonality in it all. So, you know, I just think for equality reasons, especially in school representation, if I'm celebrating other holidays, Hanukkah and Christmas and all of this, I'm celebrating Kwanzaa. I'm celebrating the principles around it. This will actually be my second year kind of recognizing it as an adult. And I wanted to kind of get my feelings around it before I exposed the girls to it, my daughters, and they love the principles around it too. So to your point, Devin, I definitely think it's something that, and Kendra too, that I want to see, you know, for the foreseeable future, I want to kind of, integrate it more to actually like add the candles, hopefully, or the unity cup, like have the whole shebang. But for right now, the subtlety of it, it works just fine for me. And so in this household as well, I definitely think there will be some recognition happening for that week.
I love that. And for me, I went to a really black school, elementary school, where my town is from Orange, New Jersey. It's really small. Everyone knows everyone. And Kwanzaa was something that I celebrated since I was a kid. But I really got into Kwanzaa because of my friend Monica. She celebrates it every year, and she usually has an event. And I plan on continuing it when I do have kids. But I do agree with what Kendra and Ari said. It kind of goes like when it kind of falls into the purposes of separating the art from the artist. Kind of like Bill Cosby, for example. We don't accept what Bill Cosby does, but we still watch A Different World. And I just feel that Kwanzaa's principles shouldn't just be celebrated for Kwanzaa. It should just be all throughout the years. We can, you know, implement creativity and self-determination and unity within our purpose every day. So kind of to transition from Kwanzaa, I mean, Kwanzaa, since we're talking about, you know, uplifting the culture, and TMP, we're known for our Black Business Challenge. I thought this would be the perfect game. Christmas is coming up, and I wanted to know, what would you want on your wish list, but from a Black business? So we all can go around and say one Black business item that we would want from our Christmas list. Y'all want me to start?
We keep doing Christmas lists as adults.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. One gift that you would want for Christmas, but it has to be from a Black-owned business.
Okay, I'm looking at my, well, I said that, and I got a little list together. That's funny.
I guess I'll start with this one. I'm really big into bags, so if someone wanted to get me a gift from a Black-owned business, I would say get me a Telfar bag or a Brandon Blackwood bag. They're luxury.
Okay. Took my businesses.
I mean, it could still be.
But it's okay. It's okay. I can build on.
I think I do have mine too. If my friends got a little money, I would love that new Beyonce fragrance.
Oh, that's
I don't
nice.
Even know what it's called, but I just want it because I got I have the rest of her fragrances, like Heat and then the other one that she had. And I love it. I love how the maturity of the fragrance. If not, then I like novelty stuff. So sunglasses, I really grew a collection. I would love, you know, a pair of glasses from, you know, a Black owned business. That would be nice.
How about you, Devin?
Okay, I have a few. So I would do lip bar, their lipsticks, well, cosmetics now. So that is my go-to, as well as Fenty. So I'm between Fenty and the lip bar for all my makeup, self-care, cleansing needs. And then I would do Poise Wine, which is a Black-owned wine company that actually sponsored... Yeah, she sponsored the podcast a few times, and her wine is really good. And then I would add North 24 in there, another sponsor of ours who is a cleaning company, and they have clean ingredients and safe ingredients, and they clean supplies really work. So those would be mine.
Nice. Love that. Kendra?
So I'm a little conflicted because I'm not sure if this technically falls under Black owned, but Nike's Fear of God line is designed by a Black businessman who also happens to be a Florida A&M University alum.
Shout out to the HBCUs.
Yes.
Is Nike? I thought that was Adidas for some reason. If he's Nike?
No, Fear of God is with Nike.
Oh, okay.
It falls into Nike, but that's why I say I'm conflicted because
it was designed by a Black man.
It was designed by a Black owner. But there's also another Black businessman who's also in the clothing industry that I want to shout out is Dungeon Forward, who's also a FAMU Rattler. But he makes amazing HBCU paraphernalia. And
Greek.
If you're Greek, he also makes
shout outs to the Zetas.
Wonderful Greek paraphernalia. So I'm shouting out the Rattlers. And in addition to what Devin shared, those are phenomenal partners that we have. And I want to include our fellow FAMU alum in that category of being great when it comes to the industry of clothing and design. So shout out to our Fear of God, Nike guru, and also our Dungeon Forward family. Castro is the owner of that business.
Cheers to that.
Yes.
It's the black geniuses.
Is the Issa Prosecco good?
Yeah, I love it.
That's on my list of drinks to try. Maybe that'll be our Christmas Eve and or Christmas Day brunch.
Prosecco. Oh, that sounds good.
Where are you located?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm in Atlanta.
So do they sell wines and liquors in Target?
Yes. I saw it actually this morning.
It's at Target.
I had to go by Target to grab something. And they had a whole like section of the Issa Rae Prosecco. And I was tempted to buy a bottle, but I'm just not today.
It's a hot commodity in Jersey. It's hard.
At one point it was completely sold out. Like people were on a hunt for this Prosecco. And today, I don't know if it's because I was there super early.
Her.
Wow. Oh yeah. Yeah. Issa is a big piece of our culture. So we love and support our Issa Rae.
Facts. Yeah. All right. So we're gonna get into our final discussion. And we've been talking about holidays. We talked about Kwanzaa. We talked about Christmas. And I wanted to know, Kendra, what's your favorite holiday if you had to choose one?
So it's interesting you asked that question, Cheryl.
Every time she starts it off like this, I'm like, oh, God, she's about to go in.
So Christmas is my favorite holiday. When I was a kid, it's just always been that very nostalgic, good feeling, family focused, and of course, spiritual holiday. Like Christmas has always been my jam. But as I've gotten older, I've grown to really love Thanksgiving. And I'm not sure if that's because we've incorporated Friendsgiving into our practice over the past 5 years or what, but there's something about the warmth of Thanksgiving. And it's just being grateful for our loved ones and all that life has brought us and God has really blessed us with. So Christmas is still up here. But Thanksgiving is really one of those holidays that's knocking at the door. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. It's challenging Christmas a little bit. So I'll stick with Christmas, but Thanksgiving is right there.
Yeah. I agree with you. That's mine too. Like Christmas is up here and Thanksgiving is right behind.
It's a very close.
It's very close.
Yeah.
How about you, Ari?
I would say the same about the close second being Thanksgiving or interchangeable sometimes, depending on who I'm, you know, rocking with or who I want to socialize with. But I would say that Easter is actually my favorite holiday. I really align with the, you know, resurrection, you know, building the new, you know, being spiritually grounded. It's always also a break in the weather. Usually it's like a break in the weather. I see family on that, you know, after having that break from the new year, you know, other than, you know, that's the kind of the next holiday that comes about. So it's like, it kind of brings back the feels all over again. So that's kind of it too. And then also, my now husband proposed to me on Easter and it was just the most perfect weekend. And it's now always coined in my head. So. Love that. And I also the like egg hunt and stuff like that. It just builds like motivation and drive for the children, but also for me, like watching them just want to achieve something or want to grasp something.
That self-determination
in it. And so that's my favorite holiday. And Thanksgiving is right up under there because sometimes it's the same kind of feel, like the same vibe I get. So
my husband proposed to me Easter weekend too.
Really? So
he did. It was a March Easter.
Is that a cosmic sign?
Gerald, we're gonna put this prayer up to the Lord for you. If it's in your will, if that's what you want, we got you, girl.
Okay, so when it does happen on Easter, I'm gonna stitch this episode.
Easter is your weekend.
No, for real. I don't know. Something about the Easter weekend is just.
It's like God said, y'all, I'll be back in 3 days. Right. Rose exactly. up.
Just give me 3 days. That's all he said. And I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you.
And Devin, what's your favorite holiday?
So I'm not really a holiday type of person. And I know that sounds really weird. But now having kids, I'm getting into the holidays. It's more my husband that has the holiday cheer. Okay. So if I had to choose, I would probably say Christmas right now, because the joy of my kids and they're really learning about Jesus Christ versus like Santa. And okay. so I really love that aspect of it because they're asking more questions about God and, you know, why we celebrate and things like that. So, and I've hosted Christmas the past like two or three years. I don't know. Things are blending together. But, and that's been fun with my family and just yeah. having our own tradition. So we've done things like a hot cocoa bar that everybody looks forward to. And I have nice. My white hot chocolate and my milk chocolate. And I have my donut Yay. Tray. I have a brunch that I do. And then we do like games, like a family talent show and superlatives and things like that.
Love that.
So that has been pretty fun. I'm not going to lie because I was kind of like a Grinch. But now it's becoming fun.
Grinch was oppressed, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because I'm just not for like the whole Santa Claus thing. And I feel like sometimes with Christmas, it gets lost, like the real reason for the season. And so, yeah. But now my kids are bringing that out of me.
And since you brought that up, it ties in perfectly to the next question.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you found out Santa Claus wasn't real?
Girl, I was a late bloomer, okay? And maybe that's why I'm bitter.
not bitter.
Oh my God.
I was in second grade. So what, seven? And I remember Shakira Johnson. I would never forget. I have not seen that's Shakira since.
Shakira Johnson?
Yes.
Shakira, if you're watching this.
Right, if you're watching
this. Not just any old Shakira, but Shakira Johnson.
You ruined Devin's experience, Shakira.
I have not seen Shakira since the second grade, okay? But, yeah, she was like, you still believe in Chris, Santa Claus? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, Santa Claus is real. My mom told me so. And she was like, well, you're dumb because he's not.
Wow.
And not I was like, dumb. Okay. So I went home and I was like, mom, be honest. Because me and my mom, we used to talk about everything. And I was like, be honest, mom. Is Santa Claus real? Because Shakira told me he wasn't. She was like, okay, he's not real. Don't tell your siblings. And I was just like, what?
Oh, my goodness.
I was so crushed.
I totally understand because that's how I felt when I found out the Tooth Fairy wasn't real.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Can I tell y'all the a little tooth story fairy? About the Tooth Fairy?
Oh God.
How I found out the Tooth Fairy wasn't real.
What happened?
I had a tooth that came out and I didn't tell my parents. I just let it come out and I didn't say nothing. And I said, I'm gonna wait like a week. Just to see, because you know you hear the rumors mm-hmm. when you're school age. Oh, the Tooth Fairy's not real. Uh-huh. Like Shakira told Devin, Santa's not real, all that stuff. I said, I'm going to see for myself. I'm one of those people. I got to see for myself, right? Been that way since day one. Put my tooth under the pillow. My tooth was there when I woke up. I said, damn, the Tooth Fairy ain't real. That's how I found out. Then I started questioning.
I would have had a response to that. I said, you not the only kid in America? Like, listen, you gotta put your boots in. And you gotta put your boots in.
So do you tell your kids about Santa and the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny?
Not at this age, no. I actually
did you?
It's funny that, no, I haven't said anything.
Okay.
And I don't plan to. Until they ask me, maybe like how you at, you know, ask your mom, because then you got to be, I believe in honesty, but mm-hmm. I'm not about to offer up no information if you're not about to ask it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have actually done that, you know, failed attempts. Like I have forgotten to leave things, you know, under the just in case they listening. Oh my I've forgotten to leave things, you know, like under the pillow. But I'd say what I kind of said, which was like, listen, the girl got a whole bunch of kids, you know, to be, you know, trying to go to houses. So listen, you might have to write a letter, you know, leave a candy under the pillow, entice her to come, you know, kind of thing. And then when it comes to Chris, when it comes to Hannah, what it is I told my friend, because this is the conversation we had, he told her son that, you know, he's not real already, and he's only 3. I'm like, listen, your kid can't hang out with my kid. My kid is going to understand it, and your kid's not going to do what Shakira did and ruin my baby's experience. Let it be. But if you were to come up to me, you know, and ask me, I'll tell it. Because I believed until I was 11.
Yeah.
I think I believed whatever was that was beneficial. I thought I was late.
Yeah.
No, I was late. Honestly, I was around that age, too.
I was about 11.
Yeah.
I was Santa like late Claus school age.
Based on
tween.
A real person? The story.
Wait,
what'd
you say? You were in the tweens, Kendra?
Oh, it may have been late school age, tween age.
Oh, yeah.
I was like really big.
Yeah. My sister
Santa.
Was in middle school and we were sprinkling deer dust in the grass. And I'm like, when are we going to be done? Like, can we
See,
just tell
was
her?
The Grinch and I was the dreamer. Literally. I was with your whichever sister, whichever one, Devin.
I was
a believer in Santa. And honestly, my son's school talks about Santa. And we're doing Elf on the Shelf this year. So
very exhausting.
I can't say that he is a true believer. I think he's still too young to really kind of grasp onto this concept of Santa. But he knows about Santa. And his elf, he looks forward to seeing his elf every morning. So I grew up with that nostalgic feeling of believing in Santa. And I want the same for my son if he wants that for himself. I'm not going to push it on him, but he came home talking about Santa. And that's based on like his friends at school and just the culture of his school. So I, you know, me and my husband listening to the conversations he had at school, we're like, maybe this is the year Santa is introduced. I don't know. but it's not something that we were like, oh, you got to believe in Santa.
Yeah.
Santa's this, Santa's that. Even though I couldn't wait.
My everything.
Christmas morning, waking up. I can't wait to get
by the chimney.
I was one of those kids.
Knowing
so
that your parents ate the cookies.
But I didn't know, but at the time, I would look like, did he eat my cookies? Did he eat my cookies? And it would be nibbles and nibbles and like crumbs on the table and milk hard drinks.
All of that.
Just like that type of stuff. Yeah.
Right. And so you remember how you felt as a kid. Like, I don't know. That's just me and how I felt. Like, Christmas, that's why I love Christmas, because of how it made me feel as a kid. Like, of course, you love the gifts and all that stuff, but there's just a sense of nostalgia that's just with Christmas. Aside, of course, you know, you go to church, you understand that Jesus is the reason for the season, and he is. And it's also that other side of feeling like a kid that's like, Santa really, you know, even though mom and dad did this or whoever.
Right.
Like you just, it's just a feeling that you have as a kid that kind of carries even into your adulthood. I don't know. It's weird.
No, but it makes sense. And speaking of nostalgia, I wanted to ask, and anyone can answer this, just basically the representation when it came to Santa in the 90s. Did any of you guys feel that in the 90s you seen a lot of representation of Black Santa versus today?
Oh, you see it everywhere today. I don't even think my kids know a white Santa for real. I mean, they do because white Santa is at school, but in my house, it's nothing but Black Santa. And I send them to school with their Black Santa PJs. Like, because we live in a very, like, not diverse area. So I want them to have sense of self. And so I, no matter where I go at this point, and we live in Georgia, I see Black Santa everywhere. It's not hard to find anymore versus in the 90s, like you gotta you gotta be the first one in the store to find the one black Santa in Hallmart.
And like, it'd probably be behind like a million white Santas.
Like, yeah. So it's very hard to find. Like, you literally had to collect them. I remember my grandmother or my great grandmother collecting like black Santa, and when she saw it, she would just buy it right then. And then it was overpriced too compared to everything else. Uh-huh. Like, you were paying more for the black Santa than you would for white Santa. But now, like, it's on. And I struggle with this too, because I'm like, I'm glad it's everywhere, but at the same time, it's like, y'all profiting off of this. So it's kind of annoying. So I'm like, but then I'll be pissed off if it wasn't there.
Exactly.
It's just like, you damned if you do, you damned if you don't. But I'm happy that it is there.
And it's kind of like when you said it's, they're profiting off of it, it's just a lack of authenticity. What makes us
upset. I think that's the part, Cheryl. Yeah. That's the part. We grew up seeing Santa as this white man, although my grandma, God rest her soul, hey, Nene, she had black Santa when we were very young. So I grew up in her house, Christmas-wise, with black Santa. But when you step outside of your grandma's house, you don't see, black Santa.
Like that.
Right, exactly. So, but now my son, he sees black Santa. He wears black Santa. And I'm glad that he's growing up in a world where Santa, to him, looks like him. Santa's not, black Santa. It's Santa. Like, there's there's no this label of him being black. It's no. So this is Santa for you. So
Santa's who you want him to be. Do you want him to be? You know, is he? He's black. Or he might be white,
Asian,
whoever he is, or Asian.
Might
or,
be.
I would love to see that, but like, you know, just see little varieties of standards.
Yeah, I think they're doing a good job, especially with the clothing, especially with like the family pajamas, like on Navy, Target. Yeah. You'll see all kind of Santas,
especially
like,
Target.
Yeah,
Target
you'll see it. Yeah, you'll see an Asian Santa, a Hispanic Santa. It don't matter what race you are, you can find a Santa for you. So
exactly,
I do appreciate that. But yeah, in the 90s, it was definitely harder, but them grandmamas found a way.
No,
they did.
Shout out to the grandmamas. Santa, and it was. It's a contradiction, but
I gotta see that. You gotta post that.
You know the Kente hats, like the woke memes. It was it was that.
Well,
that thing in the 90s.
Please send us the Kwanzaa Santa.
When you edit this video, you need to make sure that Kwanzaa Santa pop up.
Oh no, facts
on this segment. We need to see.
We'll send you the minute marker. We're about 46 minutes and just look at 46 minutes.
How? 46. It's my number.
So to wrap this up, the last holiday I wanted to speak about is New Year's. And I wanted to ask each of y'all, what are you leaving in 2023, and what's one goal or something you're looking forward to in 2024? So Kendra, you could start.
Okay. I don't know what I'm leaving here, but I will tell you what I'm starting. This year has been very busy. We have had a roller coaster of a year. When I say the lowest of lows and the highest of highs, it has happened for me and my family this year. But what I have realized is in 2023, I did not prioritize me and my mental and physical self-care. So what I will be doing in 2024 is taking better care of me. And that's by any means necessary. I will be focusing on what works for Kendra mentally and physically. And that is my top goal and priority for the 2024 season. So I'm looking forward to putting me first, aside from, of course, my God and my family, but I have got to take better care of myself and my well-being, and I look forward to doing that for me next year.
Okay, and I agree with you. I am the same. I'm leaving behind people-pleasing. I'm leaving behind not setting boundaries. And in 2024, I'm tapping into just hobbies that I've always wanted to do, but never got a chance to do. So I've always wanted to learn how to swim. but I've never did it. So
you go, girl. You go.
2024. I'm learning how to swim. I'm learning how to perfect my mac and cheese for recipes. You know. So that's the goals for me. How about you, Ari?
I'm leaving behind routine, and I'm leaving behind predictability. I feel like it's weighing me down. I have, you know, been freed by my mind and my therapy of being able to just be who I want to be and try to and kind of transform. It's shown in new relationships. It's shown in, you know, how I can show up and how new people can show up for me and how I can show up for people and how I can be a chameleon. And those people who don't fit in that, you know, fit in that understanding are no longer with me or in the process of phasing out. And so that kind of shows me that I can do it and that it feels good. And I want to keep that going. Mm-hmm. And so with that is to your point, Cheryl, and I didn't know you were going to say this, but it is kind of so befitting that, you know, I do want to do the same thing. Is I want to lean more into, you know, just leaning into what the new freedom of that looks like doing things that don't make sense, coloring my hair, having 5 different colors. I got blonde, I got purple, I got this. I want to do it. If I want to cut my hair, I want to do it. If I want to do the little Kim, I want to do it. If I want to sing and I can't sing, I want to do it. I want to do it. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm gonna do it. I'm
you
gonna do it.
Love that. Love that for you.
You do.
And last but not least, Devin. Mm.
I was sitting here pondering because I'm in right now. I'm very like in a transition stage of my life with moving to a new state, looking for a new job, trying to figure out what the hell it is I'm going to do next. So I'm just looking for peace, honestly. 2024, I hope I receive peace because I've been stressed the hell out in 2023. I'm leaving people pleasing behind as well, because I always feel like I have to fix other people's problems, and then their problems become my problems because I'm internalizing their problems, trying to fix their problems. So I am letting go of people pleasing as well. I've been a people pleaser probably my whole life up until kids, really, is when I started changing, because I just didn't have the bandwidth or the capacity to do it anymore. So really just closing that door for real, like closing it all the way, because it's a little crack right now. So closing it and locking it.
You're working on it.
Closing it, locking it, and not looking back. So
yes, I love that.
Let's clap it up and let's cheers to that.
Cheers.
Mm-hmm. Close that door, crack it in. Don't move it.
Final toast.
Yeah.
Cheers to that.
I'll put my Hennessy up to that one.
Yeah,
cheers. But thank you so much, the Real Mama Podcast, for joining us for our first annual TMP holiday special. Do you guys have anything coming up that you want to share with our listeners?
We have a few changes coming to the Real Mama Pod. So if you are over there, we're quiet right now. I don't know when this is going to air, but come January 2024, we are doing a full facelift. So You guys will see some new things from us, and we're super excited, and we'll have our first event in Atlanta, Georgia. So if you are there, we're having a mama time. So instead of galentine, we're having a mama time, and more details will come for that.
Yay!
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited for that.
I
was gonna say, try to, you know, send us the details ahead.
Yeah, well,
it's y'all February. Accept dog moms.
Yeah,
so
it's for all our rich aunties, our dog mamas, our plant mamas, our mamas, like future mamas. Yeah, anybody. Okay. If you're a woman, come on.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we will definitely link you so our followers could follow you guys.
Yes.
This has been great. Thanks for joining us. I hope you guys enjoyed our TMP first annual special. It was great. We learned about Thanksgiving and everything. So,
and we hope that all of our listeners have a great holiday. Continue to have a great holiday season. And Millennial Her Podcast will see you in 2024.
Cheers to that.
Final Merry cheers. Christmas. Cheers. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Bye,
guys.
Millennial Her Podcast.